Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
James chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse number 19. Now, as we jump back into the real life series, we're discovering, as we already knew, but it's such a great reminder, that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. I mean, the basic premise of that is God's Word comes in and does a work. Goes right through the hard parts of our lives. If we're softening up a little bit to the Lord and the Holy Spirit's doing a work, that the hard places of our heart, boom, get opened up, and God's Word, boom, speaks to us. And we've all experienced that, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is also very practical. What does it say in the New Testament? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Don't you love that? That it's not just this some archaic text that has nothing to do with our lives. No. The Word of God speaks right to where we're at, and I believe the Word of God is going to speak to us right where we're at today. A very, very practical message from James chapter 1. Let's begin with verse 19. Would you please stand in honor of the Lord's Word? Verse 19 begins, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word." Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's living, active, powerful, and practical. Lord, as we hear from this text what the Holy Spirit's wanting to speak to us about our communication and about our words, I pray that we will humbly accept the Word of God. In your name, amen. You can be seated.
Catherine, do you need a place to stay? I can't imagine living in the same house with that man.
No, I decided last night that I'm not the one that's leaving. He's the problem, not me.
That's right, girl. Stand your ground. Make him respect you. If there's one thing a man understands...
It's respect. That's the issue. That's the reason our marriage is failing. She shows me no respect at all. And the saddest part about it is...
He doesn't have a clue. He thinks our marriage has been fine for the most part. You know, he probably thinks...
Our marriage has been fine until this year. Now all of a sudden she goes off the deep end.
Do you really think this happened all of a sudden?
I don't know what to think. I don't understand her. She's emotional about everything. She's easily offended and way too sensitive.
I mean, he's so insensitive. You know? He doesn't truly care how I feel. He doesn't listen to me. Even if I say it over and over and over again.
And then she starts nagging me and saying I don't listen to her or something like that. It drives me crazy. I feel like I'm going...
Insane. You know, he doesn't understand my needs. I feel like we are completely and totally...
Incompatible. She's probably whining to her friends, making me sound like a criminal. I can see them all right now, crying, having some sort of group hug.
It's gonna be okay, sweetie. It's gonna be all right.
You'll get through this.
We have your back, whatever you need.
So you think it's past the point of no return?
I don't have a reason to return.
Well, we can see in that clip that communication is not happening so well for that couple, at least at that stage of the movie. And marriage research reveals this, that 86% of derailed marriages cite poor communication as the number one reason. And I think any of us who have ever talked to someone or had someone talk to us would agree, whether we're married or not, that communication is so important. But yet communication... talking, processing through a situation is not always easy. Now, communication is like a big bowl with lots of ingredients in it. It's not just words, although it includes words, and we'll get to that, but it includes tone. Have you ever had someone say to me, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. It includes tone. It includes, at times, our behavior. You probably have heard someone say this to you, "I couldn't hear what you're saying because your actions are too loud." Yeah, that can hit us hard. And it also can include nonverbal clues. There are certain things that we can do in communication that make a statement send a really clear message. Let's say you roll your eyes while someone is talking to you. That sends a very clear message to them, like, you're an idiot, okay? If you see someone shrug their shoulders, like, whatever, it means they don't care. And probably all of us at parents have seen that combo from teenagers in the past, right? The rolling the eyes and shrugging the shoulders. You know, it's like they can't chew gum and walk, but they can roll their eyes and shrug the shoulders at the same time. You know, they got that down. There's also a nonverbal clue and message that is sent if we ignore the other person. You know, maybe for some women, they're talking to their man and their man is playing video games, right? He has no idea what she's saying. And then later on, he's trying to talk to her and he's trying to share his deepest feelings with her, how much he loves her, and she's checking Facebook again. She has no idea what he's saying. We can ignore, and that sends a message. But there are other nonverbal clues and nonverbal messages that can be sent that are actually really, really good. I read of one of our brave soldiers who was severely wounded in the war in Afghanistan. He was so wounded that he can now neither hear nor speak. But yet his wife said this, "I'm the luckiest person in the world. I feel cherished and loved by my husband. He communicates with me so clearly by holding my hands. I can't tell you how special it makes me feel when he stops what he's doing and just holds my hand. He really fills our home with gratefulness and appreciation." It's powerful. A nonverbal way of sending a message in this big bowl of communication. But as important as tone and behavior and nonverbal clues are, we can't underestimate the power of our words. You see, our words can pack a powerful punch, or our words can unpack powerful blessings. And we've probably experienced someone speaking into our life, and we receive the blessings of healing and affirmation and encouragement and love. And every day, you and I choose which words come out of our mouth. Nobody else chooses it for us. We're responsible for it. Whether we like it or not, we choose what comes out of this thing. And when we choose, these words then make a difference. I'm sure all of us have had those moments where something came out of our mouth and we're like, oh, I can't believe I said that. Or you're like, I would pay $100 to get that back. You know, it's like, it's out there and I'm like, put it back in, please. Can't believe I said that, but the reality is we did. We can't blame anybody else for it. It came out of our mouth. Our words can pack a powerful punch, or they can unpack powerful blessings. And most of us don't wake up in the morning thinking, I want to offend my spouse, or I want to lose it again with my boss. Or teenagers, you don't wake up in the morning thinking, oh, I can't wait to disrespect my parents. Be great. No, we don't think like that, but yet, even though it's not our intention, haven't you experienced words kind of coming out quicker than you wish they would and leaving a mark, maybe of hurt, on someone that you didn't intend for them to receive? The question is there anything we can do about it? Well, in this real life series from the book of James, we find practical instructions for a lot of things. Today, we're going to hear some practical instructions from James under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our communication and how we can ensure that our words are not powerful punches that take people out during this week, but they're actually powerful blessings unpacked for the people that we care about and the people that we come in contact with this week. You'll notice in chapter 1, verse 19, that James begins by saying, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this." And I highlight this as I have in a couple of messages because I want us to remember again and again that James is saying to these people that he's writing to, these believers, I care about you and I'm a fellow journeyer on this road. I'm with you. And as I began working on this message and studying this text and praying about this, immediately I experienced God's conviction that I need this message. I really need this message. And I wonder if maybe you do as well. So as we go through this text, I want to give you from the Word five choices to make before you speak. I'm not going to tell you what to say. I'm talking about five choices to make before you respond, before you open your mouth, your trap, your kiss, or your pie hole. five choices to make before you respond. The first choice is this. We see this in the text. Listen. Listen. James says everyone should be quick to listen. Now, the Greek word here, tachos, means a person who runs as fast as they can to get to the finish line. It's someone who is swift, someone who is so focused on the finish line, so focused on beating his competitors that he runs as fast as he can in order to cross that finish line first. And James says, be quick to listen. Can you imagine if in our relationships at work and in a relationship with the spouse, if you're married, and with those that we're ministering to, our children or teenagers, if we ran faster to listen than we did to speak. If we were just rushing, I just want to hear what they have to say, instead of rushing to speak. What a difference that would make in our relationships and in our lives. How enriching that would be for marriages. How enriching that would be in work relationships. If we ran. In other words, James is saying, I want you to get a first place medal in listening. Not in your oratorical skills, not in your opinions, not in your subjectivity. I want you to get a first place medal in your listening. And listening is hard. Listening is hard. Sure, there's some people that are really good at it, but I'd say most of us kind of struggle with that at times. We would rather open our mouth and share. We have a lot of words. We have so much wisdom and knowledge that's right there, and the world needs to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Your spouse needs to hear that. Your teenager, you're like, if they only knew everything I knew, I would save them so much heartache if they would just listen. Listening is hard. We want others to do it, but sometimes we struggle in that area. Can I get an amen? Amen. Here's the thing. Research has claimed that women have 20,000 words a day. Now, some of you guys might be thinking, yeah, that might be accurate. But others, maybe one over here, others would say, you know, that's like before they get to their second cup of coffee. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just rolling right past 20,000. See you later, 20,000. And they're going. Men, research claim, have 7,000 words a day. And some of you women might be thinking, man, if my husband said 70 words in a day, that would be good. And every home is different. I know we've kind of laughed about this week when I shared those numbers with her. We thought about it. We're like, yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. 20,000 for women, 7,000 for men in our home. We have never counted. Maybe there's an app for it, but I think that is fairly accurate. In our home, we have a lot of words, yet God gave us 2 ears and only one mouth. And what we find in the Proverbs is that listening actually brings so much benefit. And I believe it's benefit that each and every one of us want in our lives. Listening, first of all, brings knowledge. Proverbs 19 gives a warning. It says this: stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. If you stop listening, you're going to stray. None of us want to stray. Listening brings knowledge. Listening reveals wisdom. Proverbs says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. How does the writer of Proverbs know that the son is wise? It's by listening to the father's instruction, and it reveals that this young man has wisdom. Thirdly, listening invites course correction. None of us in this place have it all figured out and have always taken the right route in our path of life. Listening invites course correction. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Listening preserves life. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Finally, listening stirs compassion. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. And what is the opposite? Whoever opens their ear to the cry of the poor, whoever cares, whoever listens, whoever is like God, God listens to the cries of those that are hurting, the cries of those that are struggling. Listening brings so many benefits to our lives, yet we find that it's difficult. In our church structure, we have what we call premarital counseling. A lot of churches have this, and the pastors do premarital counseling. And also, we have an amazing marriage mentor ministry of volunteers in our church that have been trained to do premarital counseling and marriage counseling and such. And our goal is to help marriages, before they even start, get on the right foot. Right? To take the right steps forward. And so if a couple comes to us and they want to get married in 3 weeks, they're in love. They met yesterday, but they're in love. And they want to get married in 3 weeks. We want to be helpful to them and pray for them and help guide them any way that they would allow us to do so. But we're not going to probably be doing the ceremony, because we have a commitment that we're going to have 5 to 6 months of premarital counseling, where we meet once a month for 5 to 6 months in order to help this marriage get off on the right foot. One of the things that we focus on, believe it or not, is communication, because it's such a big deal in marriage. And so there are things that we do to help a couple practice communication, saying things like, I'm sorry that I've made you feel this way, or what I hear you saying is this. And at first, as the couple is on the couch and they're talking this way, it can feel a little awkward, it can feel a little fake, a little plastic, because I'm in there listening in, creeping in, right? I'm right there. But we're trying to help the couple realize that the person sitting across from them is more important than the issue. And so by spending time together and looking each other in the eye and by talking and listening in order to understand, their relationship is going to be so much stronger. And that's what listening is. James says, listen. Be quick to listen. Run to listen, because by listening, by intentionally leaning into that person, into that conversation, you're showing them that you care, and you're going to come away understanding truly what they're going through. First choice before you ever open the mouth is listen. The second is this, filter. Second choice before you respond, filter. James says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Not quick to speak, slow to speak. That doesn't mean you draw out your words really slowly. It just means that not every thought you have needs to be shared. Now, some of you might say, well, I just say whatever comes to mind. I can't stop myself. And I would say to you, how's life going for you? How you doing in the friend category? Some people just want to blurt it out. I've been just blurt out sometimes, and I've done it, just what I think. But a wise person filters before speaking. It's so important for us to filter out what does not need to be spoken out before we ever open our mouth. Here are some great filtering questions for you. You can try them out this week. Before speaking, you could ask, is what I'm getting ready to say Christ-honoring? Will this build up or tear down? Am I saying this just to make myself look better? Am I saying this just so someone else looks worse? Does it even need to be said? As a famous person called Mom once said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Often, many words equal much trouble. It's biblical. Proverbs says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Oh, how true that is. Any guys out there ever ruined a romantic moment? Things were going well. You have the creative date, the perfect afternoon or evening. Everything's going great, and then you had to open your mouth. You said something. You brought up a previous argument that hadn't been resolved. And it's the date is just tainted, right? Because now you might be having a little bit of tension. By the looks on your faces, I am the only one that has ever experienced that. Thank you guys for leaving me hanging out there. Appreciate that. Proverbs goes on to say this, the mouth of fools are the ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. See, slow and steady wins the race. Slowing down, slow to speak, filtering out what doesn't need to be spoken out. Thinking through, do I really need to say this? Do I really need to say this like that? It can alleviate so much heartache. It can alleviate so much hurt. If we just would think through and filter through with the help of the Holy Spirit what truly needs to be said. James 1, verse 26, is later on in our chapter, has a sobering, sobering statement. I want you to see this. It says, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Ouch. How many of us know that the words that come out of our mouth can at times negate our credibility and can taint our witness for Jesus? A sobering example of this, just several weeks ago, one of our kids in power plant, and it was in small group, and this kid shared with his small group a prayer request as they were going around sharing prayer needs, and this kid shared his prayer request, and it was this: I just wish my dad would stop swearing. I just wish my dad would stop swearing. Filter. It's a choice. Before we open, this, is this Christ honoring? Will this build up or tear down? Am I saying this just to make myself look better? Am I saying this so that someone else will look worse? Does it even need to be said? Filter. Third choice, before speaking, so we are listening, we are filtering, and then thirdly, breathe. We take a breath. And you think, well, is this just like some popular psychological way of improving relationships? This is from the Word. Verse 19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. As I said before, your words and my words can either pack a powerful punch or they can unpack powerful blessings. And so often, in conversations that get stressful and in relationships that can get stressful, we are so quick to put on the boxing gloves and toe the line and like, all right, let's go. And the Word of God says this in Proverbs, short-tempered people do foolish things. And whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. And I say, well, Pastor Keith, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand how stressful it can be at work or in the home. You don't understand how unappreciated I am or misunderstood I am. Or you don't know what it's like when the kids do that thing again. Proverbs, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Breathe. Before responding, before lashing out, take the gloves off. Listen, filter, breathe. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And then it goes on. Fourth choice. Well, actually, before I say that, let me reference verse 20. There's a why. There's a big why in our text James gives us, and it's this. Why should we breathe and be slow to anger? Because human anger, verse 20, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It doesn't achieve the righteous life that God wants us to live in front of other people. Human anger does not produce that. Listen, filter, breathe. Fourth choice before speaking is unload. It's unload, finally, right? I mean, you've been waiting this whole time. You've been listening to what people are saying. You've been filtering out. Okay, holding off. You've been patient. You haven't got upset. You've been holding it back. And finally, unload, right? But I'm not talking about unloading on someone. Here's what the Message paraphrase says. Post this at all intersections. Dear friends, lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue. And let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garage, in the garbage. My garage. Bring it over to my garage. That's fine. Unload it. Get it out. I don't care where you put it. Just get it out. Unload. What am I talking about? The pride. Unload the selfishness. Unload the complaining, the ungratefulness, the desire for control, the sarcasm, the negativity, the revenge, the baggage. Unload it. Unload it. Scripture calls it evil. That's what it says in NIV. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. The list that I just read you is prevalent in our society and can be prevalent in our lives. Pride, selfishness, ungratefulness, desire for control, all of the above. And James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid. Get rid. In the New Testament, this compound word was used frequently to describe someone taking off their dirty, filthy, smelly clothes and pushing them away. Just push them away. You get to the end of the day, you take those clothes off, you don't want to wear them for the rest of the evening. You don't want to show up at the dinner table, or you don't want to go out to eat wearing those clothes. They're dirty, they're stinky, they're smelly. Get them out. At our house, if someone comes in with those types of clothes, one of the kids or maybe dad comes in with clothes like that, we don't put those in the hamper in the room. Those are the lightly used, lightly worn clothing goes in there, and we'll wash that at some point. But the ones that are soaked with sweat and they smell and they're just, it's like decaying flesh. You know what I'm saying? It's the middle school locker room and you take those clothes immediately, they go downstairs to the basement and they camp out right beside the washing machine. Okay? That's where they live. We just let them live down there so we can wash them really quickly. And James is saying to them, just as you peel off dirty, smelly clothes and you try to get them as far away as you can, James says, peel off, get rid, peel off, unload, get rid of those things, those selfish attitudes, the self-promoting attitudes, get rid of those anger issues, get rid of the baggage, get rid of all of those things before you speak, because if you don't get rid of those things, they're going to come out, are they not? And you're going to unload on someone. James says, no, unload those things, take care of those things before you open your mouth, before you post on Facebook, before you respond in that conversation, unload the anger. Unload all of your harsh opinions. Unload the revenge that you want to get back. Unload that stuff. Unload that stuff. So that then you're ready to do one more thing. This is the fifth choice, and we see this in the scripture. So we have what? We have listen. We have filter. We have breathe. We're going to slow to become angry. We have unload. We're going to get rid of that moral filth, those things that affect our words and cause them to be powerful punches. We unload those. And the fifth choice, before speaking, before responding, is download. See, download in computer term, you all know it as when you receive data from another source. You're downloading from this great source what you need to do this or to do that. Verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. And this command means to receive the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, as the authority for your life, as the guide for your life, as the litmus test for what should and should not be shared with other people. Download the word of God into that situation. And before speaking, it's so important for us to download, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to say through me right now? What does the word of God say about this situation? How would Jesus respond in this conversation? What would be pleasing to God? We download. We download. Before we ever respond, before we ever open up our mouth, James says, hey, listen. Listen to what is really being said. Often we try to respond before we ever heard what they're even saying. Listen to what's being said. Filter through what needs then to be spoken. Filter out what doesn't need to be spoken out. asking some of those questions and others is so important for us to have communication that honors the Lord. We breathe, right? We take a step back. Sometimes we have to walk away. Sometimes in that moment we just, okay, God help me. It's going to be okay. Help me to say what I need to say here. We breathe and then we unload and we download. Then we respond. Then we post. Then we speak. I have never regretted doing any of those five things. The times when I have listened to what someone was truly saying, I've never regretted that. Man, I wish I would have just interrupted them and just told them what I think. I've never regretted filtering out what shouldn't be said. Often, I could tell you stories in my life of times when I didn't filter out what needed to be said, right? I just blurted it out. Filter. I've never regretted breathing, taking the time, just, okay, how should I respond in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? I don't want to respond out of anger. I've never regretted unloading those negative things, unloading those things which are going to taint my witness and taint my credibility and taint this conversation. I've never regretted downloading the Word of God. I've never gone to bed at night, put my head on the pillow and be like, man, I wish I wouldn't have read the Bible today. Got all that wisdom that saved my situation. No way, right? It's preposterous. I've never regretted doing any of those five things. My regrets, maybe yours, come from not doing those things. Putting your head on the pillow and be like, missed it. Shouldn't have said that. Why did I say it so quickly? Oh, that was not pleasing to the Lord. That's where my regrets come from. And the Word of God, so faithful to give us what we need for this week. And we can walk out of here and say, you know what, I'm going to do this with God's help. Bottom line is, we need God's help. Would you please stand? This message has been very convicting for me. I've been listening in as I've been speaking and as I've been preparing over the last few weeks. I knew this is something that I needed to hear. I want to grow in this area. I want to learn from the Word of God and become better in this so that I'm more pleasing to the Lord in my communication. But I know that it's a challenge not just for me, but probably for many of us. And what I want to do is I want to go through these five and just ask you if you would honestly respond by just lifting up a hand, which ones of these, maybe it's one, maybe it's none, maybe it's three of these that you would say, you know what, this is a challenge for me and I want God to help me in this area. I don't want to stay at the same place. This is a challenge for me and I want God, I'm asking God today to help me in this area. The first one is, how many find it to be a challenge to be a genuine listener? Would you lift up a hand? Yeah. How many would say it's a challenge to be someone who filters through what I say? Yeah, maybe you just speak before you filter. Yes. How many would lift a hand and say that there are times when you come across the line too quick and you need to take time to breathe. You need to take time to breathe and be quick to become upset. How many of you would say that the challenge that you have is unloading the things, the past, the baggage, all that stuff that we talked about? And then the last is, how many of you say, you know, it's been kind of a challenge lately to get into the Word and to download what He's wanting to speak to me for that day. That's been kind of a challenge with your schedule and consistency. Okay. There are many of us that raised our hand for all of those. Saw even one hand up the entire time. I did this just so I could rest. It's like, man, just bringing it back up. But I lift my hand on those as well. And I was going to have us come forward for altar response, but almost everyone in this place lifted a hand throughout. And so I thank you for your honesty. And so we want to just make this a place of prayer. This entire place, wherever you're at, whether you want to come forward or you want to stay where you're at, these next few minutes, let's make this our altar. Let's make this a time we're in the presence of the Lord, because I believe God is good. And I believe God wants you to communicate in a way that's pleasing to Him. I truly believe that. And so He gives us all the grace and the power that we need, if we accept it, to change, to be Christ-like.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media platform. at CCC Midland.